The possible reversal of the United States Supreme Court's landmark ruling Roe v. Wade is having a significant impact at the local level. 9 states, including Michigan, have abortion bans that were enacted before the Supreme Court ruling. And those bans could possibly be enforced again if Roe is overturned.
But yesterday, a judge in Michigan blocked the potential enforcement of its state law, which dates back to 1931. The judge sided with the reproductive health care provider Planned Parenthood, which brought the lawsuit against the state. The temporary injunction means that if the Supreme Court does eventually overturn its Roe v. Wade decision, Michigan's law would not take effect until Planned Parenthood's lawsuit is resolved. While the U.S. could be on the verge of restricting abortion laws abroad, in some traditionally conservative countries, it's a different story. Enid Muthoni is a chief program officer based in Geneva, Switzerland, for the Center for Reproductive Rights. That's a legal advocacy organization that supports abortion rights. Muthoni says the U.S. is at odds with a general move around the world towards more liberal abortion laws and policies.
In the last 25 years, over 60 countries have liberalized their laws. Right now, there's a couple of countries that still maintain total abortion bans in the world. Those countries have decreased and now are only about 23 countries across the world. Some of those are in Europe. We have Malta that is amongst those countries, and a couple of them also in Latin America. But generally to say, even in Latin America, Anthony, you'll remember, is where we are seeing the green wave, which has seen some of the most conservative countries like Argentina, like Colombia, actually moving to decriminalize abortion.
And what do you think explains that general trend? Because as you know, here in the United States, things seem to be moving in a very different direction. What explains this general trend to liberalize abortions across the globe?
The first thing we see is that one of the drivers in the changes across the globe to have abortion less, become more liberalized and to have abortion become more accessible is that more and more countries are actually beginning to view abortion as a health service, and advocates and actors in those countries are using legal advocacy, they are going to court, they're using human rights mechanisms to push their governments to recognize abortion as an essential health service. Unlike the US, where the discussion is really almost centered on politicizing women and girls and persons requiring abortion services, the conversation in most of the other parts of the world where we are seeing progress is that actually abortion is recognized as a fundamental right for women, girls, and people requiring this service.
All right. Well, you mentioned Latin America, and I wanted to ask you about that because, as you mentioned, we have seen significant changes in laws in Argentina and most recently Colombia, where the country's constitutional court legalized abortion during the first 24 weeks of pregnancy. I understand that your organization was among the groups that litigated that case.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I mean, tell me how the sort of tide turned in Colombia.
So Colombia, just a few years ago, around 2014, was one of the countries with the most restrictive abortion laws. And the actors in that country, starting with the movement, which is a coalition of about 90 organizations and 134 advocates, started advocating to have, provisions that women and girls could access abortion services.
Hmm.
The movement really worked on changing the narrative in the community. Because one of the biggest challenge with abortion is that it is such a stigmatized word and it is such a stigmatized process that even having the community engage in that conversation is a difficult conversation. So by the movement fighting against stigma, by the movement actually talking about what they were calling social decriminalization, so having people start viewing abortion as a health service, as a human rights issue, changed the conversation. It made it possible for, even actors within even the religious movement, actors in the political movement, to start coalescing around this issue, not as a stigmatized issue, but as a health issue and a human rights issue.
It's really interesting. I'm thinking of Latin America. I'm thinking as well as looking over at Europe. Back in 2018, the Irish Parliament legalized abortion during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. And previously, Ireland had been one of the most restrictive abortion laws in Europe. So I'm struck by this. Ireland and Latin America, both parts of the world where abortion laws have become more liberal. Here in the U.S., the opposition to abortion is very much the result of religious views that all life is sacred. How is it that countries with strict Catholic influences, such as Ireland and parts of Latin America, have been able to convince people to support abortion rights despite having similar, you know, similar religious beliefs?
If we talk about Ireland, it's that actually even before the referendum that really made the change around abortion laws in Ireland, there had really already been like a start of a deep social change conversation in the country itself. And of course, there was also a sense that the influence of the church was diminishing in some of the areas where the conversation was happening. But I think what changed the tide in Ireland, and just as much as in Colombia, was really getting the conversation from the politicians and taking it to the people. So, for example, in Ireland, one of the things that the movement did was to engage, you know, the services of social communicators who were able to assist the movement to frame the conversations in a language that a common person in Ireland could identify with. So removing it from the moralistic, stigmatized, you know, protectionist conversation that is currently happening and political conversation that is currently happening in the U.S. to really have people talking about seeing that the people who need these services are, you know, the woman that is next to you, it's the girl that you know. And so the changing of the narrative and taking away the narrative from the politicians to the people themselves was one of the biggest turning points in Ireland.
I see. Finally, Enid, if Roe versus Wade is overturned here in the United States, what effect does that have? What message does that send out across the world? And does it influence policies in other countries?
I would say, you know, abortion is a very emotive issue. Mm-hmm. And the biggest danger, I think, why this is also a big concern to everyone, not just in the U.S. alone, and why it's maybe very fraught and protracted, is that what the U.S. does at the end of the day becomes a precursor to what many other restrictive governments might actually do across the world. Mm-hmm. Although just to mention as well that, you know, if Roe does get overturned, the U.S. actually becomes an extreme outlier and is going to join countries like El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Poland in the total list of countries that have rolled back abortion rights since 1994. And also the impact of these bans that are likely to happen once, you know, if Roe goes down, the impact on the most vulnerable groups in the U.S., including people of color and, you know, poor people, really is going to be immense. Of course, in every country, it's a very fraught conversation. Really, the one for the U.S., it's I think it's the magnitude.
Yeah.
And also it's the extent to which a country can really regress within such a short period from where it was having a constitutional guarantee to access to abortion.
All right. Well, that's Enid Muthoni. She's program officer at the Center for Reproductive Rights. It's a global advocacy organization that supports abortion rights. She was speaking to us from Geneva. Enid Muthoni, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.